Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, March 27th, 2025. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 86, paragraph 2. Today's readers are, on the 12 steps, Margaret D., Cheryl S. will read the 12 traditions. The text will be read by Elaine B., and Kara L. will read the closing. Our newcomer greeter is Chanel T., and Leslie M. will share announcements with us. Thank you all for being such a great team this month. The share ID numbers are the following. For yesterday, Wednesday, March 26th, 10 a.m. meeting, 22,291, 22,291, and this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,293, 22,293. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own voluntary contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Margaret D. to read the 12 steps of OA.
The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. Praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you so much, Margaret D. I will now ask Cheryl S. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S., a compulsive overeater in Nevada. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing on what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 86, paragraph 2. I will ask Elaine B. to begin reading.
Thank you so much. Okay, on awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. For after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. So, more good, orderly instruction and inviting God into our lives. Someone on the line a long time ago recommended taking the 11-step instructions, and I've added a few of them, and just recording them so that we have a really good foundation every day. You know, well, we have this. As we review this every day, you know, on awakening, because I can be awake and I can be getting into, you know, this problem and that problem I have to face, and then morbid reflection and down I go. And I'm not even out of bed yet. I even started the day. But instead of doing that, I get to get out of bed. I do get on my knees. I have a personal faith-based prayer that I do. But then I listen to this recording because it's my clear-cut instructions for the day. And if I have, my sponsor said, You know, if I poo on my shoe when I go to bed, you know, it's going to stink up the place. If I go to bed with poo on my shoe, or I get up in the morning and I've got stuff that's disturbing me, I get to go directly to God. I get to ask him to direct my thinking. I get to help ask him that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Because that's where it's sort of like making sure your car has gas, making sure it has all the other things that it needs, tires that aren't, you know, deflated or have holes in them. These are the foundational things that we need to be able to get up and live our life one day at a time. And so, as I said, I'm so happy somebody talked about recording this. And so I can just record this along with some other personal things, because I want to employ my mental faculties and not know I'm getting off into the danger zone of who's going to be the solution. If they only change, if only this would happen, you know, then and I controlled the world, then everything would be great. But no. God gave each one of us a unique set of skills, a unique set of insights, even unique fingerprints and voices. And that's what I love about this meeting, is that you get to hear so many different perspectives on what we're studying. I want my thought life to be on the higher plane, not down there in the muck or the yuck or hanging out with Ben and Jerry at the ice cream shop. You know, that's not where I live anymore. And I'm so grateful for the changes that have come in my life, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, because I'm willing to every morning and every day invite God in, let him take charge, and to remind myself all throughout the day, you're the one that I want to follow, because my best plans got me into this mess. And I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elaine B. Okay, I'll now take a list of people who would like to share on this paragraph, page 86, paragraph 2. But before I do, I'll remind everyone that although we value your experience highly, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Who would like to share?
Wendy M.
Wendy M.
Mary Ellen T.
Mary Ellen T.
Veronica B.
Veronica B. Remember, you don't need abstinence.
Malka S.
To share on topic. Malka S. Okay, we'll begin with this group. Wendy M., Mary Ellen T., Veronica B., and Malka S. Please go ahead, Wendy. Let us know where you're calling from.
Sure. Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you so much, Jody, and everybody on the line. So this is hilarious. So I, you know, my first thing is I get on my knees and, you know, third step prayer, and then I listen to On Awakening from different speakers on my phone, and literally sometimes I'm listening to it and considering my plans for the day at the same time. And that's when I know I need to do pen to paper. After I you know, listen to On Awakening, then I take pen to paper. But it's true. Sometimes I'm doing the plan and listening to On Awakening. I don't recommend it, but it happens. And as somebody said on an earlier call, they're like, I wake up like in fear, in resentment, in morbid reflection. And I was like, me too. Yeah, I do. Until this is kind of, you know, until this paragraph appears, and it's really about being awake. You know, this whole thing is about waking up, right? And we ask God, yeah, direct my thinking, please, dear God. And then it says, divorce from self-seeking motive, dishonest. Here's the deal. Like, it's never a surprise to me when I'm in motive, when I'm in dishonesty and self-seeking. It's not a mystery. Like, this thing, it's obvious to me. You know, I'm sitting there jittery and afraid or befogged or whatever. And that's what God does. God makes it possible my selfishness, my dishonesty. It's obvious to me. And that's part of, you know, I think the recovered state is this knowing, this intuitive knowing, this inspired knowing from God to us. Sometimes I have to stop and go, God, I'm irritable, talk to me. And I do that often pen to paper in the 11th step. And then it says, our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane. That is the gift, right? Like, that's what we're here for, right? To go from insane thinking to sane thinking, right? That our thought life is much higher plane. That's the good stuff. That's what we get. And I know when I am with God, it feels fabulous. And I know when I'm involved in a bunch of motives, it feels awful, right? So when it feels awful, it's Wendy itself. It's, you know, no power anywhere except my own. And then when it feels great, right? Thought life is placed on a much higher plane. That's when we're with God and it feels wonderful. And that's what this practice does every morning. It gets me from an unawake, out of it, possibly bitchy state to this higher plane with God. It feels phenomenal. And that happens every time I'm awake. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Mary Ellen T., where are you calling from?
Good morning, Jody. Good morning, everybody. I'm calling from Corvallis, Oregon, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I wanted to share on this paragraph because I have so much gratitude, well, for all the paragraphs, but this paragraph has just provided a lot of structure for my life and for my day and for my recovery. And I think that that's probably one of the bigger reflections that I have when I'm working through a 10th step or when I'm frustrated with a person, place, thing, situation. You know, one of the gratitudes that I end up coming around to and that God helps me to be able to see is that I have structure in my life. I have a program of recovery that tells me how to move about the day. And this big book also gives me a lot of insights into relationship ideals. And so, you know, I think that word in the paragraph before we begin, so that before I'm thinking about my day, I'm asking my higher power to give me that insight and that guidance as I'm reviewing and thinking about the day ahead of me. And that's the opportunity I get to have to look at where the big book shows me about relationship ideals and how would God have me show up today for my grandchildren that are going to come spend the night with me for a couple nights? What kind of grandmother does my higher power, what does she want me to be? How can I show up for my 19 and 20-year-old that are at home and maybe when I go out into the community? And so those, the big book really gives me a lot of direction on relationship ideals. And so I am so eternally grateful for the structure that, you know, it gives me a way out, gives me a way to stay focused instead of the impulsivity, which is, you know, one of the promises that has come true and still continues to come true because I'm still growing, is I'm so much less reactive to things and events that happen during my daytime, I'm not taken on a whim and just reacting off of emotions or self-righteous anger nearly as much as what I used to be, because this paragraph reminds me to be thinking about situations and people and places that I'm going to be involved with, and just a reminder of, you know, how would you have me show up for this event, God? So I really am so, this structure has really helped me to show up in a much more loving, kinder, softer way and less selfish and allowed to be able to be thinking of others. And I think that's all I wanted to share. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Mary Ellen T. from Oregon. Veronica, it's your turn.
Hi, good morning. My name is Veronica B., recovered compulsive overeater in Santa Monica, California. Thank you for your service. I love how this big book just gives me simple instructions. When it gives me an instruction, that's my cue to take that action. And this is just a prayer. It's given me in the habit and the practice of immediately waking up and asking for guidance. That's all it is. And then it tells me what to do. And I love the mention about structure, because for me, as a compulsive overeater, I have a much better day when my day is structured, when I know what I'm going to be doing. I don't do well with idle time. I think that's what they call it. Like when I don't know what I'm doing, when I have too many choices, that's a danger zone for me. So it's best for me to just know what I'm going to be doing in the day. And then, and it always starts first thing in the morning, asking God for guidance. It's getting me in the practice to talking to God so that, you know, I can tap in to get access to power so that I can stay abstinent today. And I love that this is a day at a time program. I only have to do it today, just for today. I stay abstinent just for today. If I can just keep it simple like that, I don't get overwhelmed with what I have to do tomorrow or next week or blah, blah, blah. I just stay in today. If I stay in today, I ask God for guidance, and then I do his work today, just for today. I can do anything for 24 hours. I think that was a quote from Abraham Lincoln. And then it tells me immediately what to do if I start to get into self-pity. You know, that's when I start to just ask God, like, and I'm supposed to pray throughout the day. And if you don't like the word prayer, talk to your higher power throughout the day. So that I become more aware of me and my feelings. That's what the power of these steps do. They help me get awareness of myself so that I know I can ask God for help when I'm having a hard time in the day. And then that way, like, I have my food plan ready, so that's already taken care of, you know. And then if I have my structure day, I'm less likely to get bored. I'm less likely to, you know, get in trouble because I do not do good with unstructured time. And because the whole point is to get access to God. These are the tools to get access to God. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much for sharing. Veronica B. from California. And Malka S., it's your turn.
Hi, this is, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Malka S., compulsive overeater in Mexico. Thank you so much. So this paragraph holds very true to my heart. It's very special to me. My sponsor told me when I was going through the steps that, you know, before she even gets out of bed, she would ask God to direct her thinking, especially that of being divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. And I started like trying to do that. And it's very interesting what's happened from doing that small thing in my bed before I get out of bed in the morning. I'm not saying that it like transforms my whole day and it like it's like so uplifting, because I've never been like a nice person in the morning. I've always had a very hard time in the morning. But one thing it does is it just like puts the thought of God in my head. It puts the idea in a very, very small way. Just it puts the idea that, okay, like another day, it's going to be great. I'm not alone. I don't have to know what the results are going to be today. I don't have to know anything. I just have to ask God genuinely to direct to direct what goes into my head, direct my thinking, direct my actions, and just surrender to God today. It puts my whole self on a higher thinking plane, and I think that maybe the way that I was taught to pray, it's funny because I was like taught to pray in a certain school. It was just like, how fast can you say this? And how fast can you say that? And how fast can you get through the prayers? Which just like a rewiring my thought. It's rewiring my whole perspective on prayer through recovery. Instead of like, how fast can you say the prayers? It's like, okay, let's slow down. Let's put my hand on my heart and take a deep breath and really just think about God and talk to God and connect to God on a humanly level. And that's what has been able to like get me on a higher plane. And I'm so, so, so grateful for that. And it's a practice. It's a practice that I have to do every day so that it becomes more natural to me and I can to rewire my brain. And yeah, I hope everyone has a really, really great day, and I'll pass. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you so much. Malka S. from Mexico. Okay, we're on page 86, if you came on the line recently, paragraph 2. Which begins, on awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. Reading that one paragraph only. Who would like to share?
Anne B.
Metris J. from Michigan.
Metris J. from Michigan.
Loretta H.
Laura W.
Okay.
Judy G.
Judy G. Gotcha, Judy. We'll go with this group. Anne, Metris, Loretta, Laura, and Judy. Please go ahead, Anne B.
Good morning. I'm Pam B with a P.
Pam.
Pam from Palos Verdes, California. And I am a real compulsive overeater. I say Palos Verdes just because I'd like to connect with people on the, you know, close to me, and California's huge. But anyway, love this paragraph, one of my favorite. And my practice is I say the third step prayer in bed before I get out of bed. And then I get on my knees and say the seventh step prayer. And sometimes I have to, I like what I think the last caller said about like, reminded me that I have to slow down. Sometimes I say it and I go, wait, what did I just say? What do I mean? And really consciously think about God listening to me and that I'm speaking to God. And I just recently became aware of how much I avoid pain. And I was raised in a really dysfunctional family, neglected, had trauma I'm dealing with a professional, but I try to avoid pain. Like, and when I surrender to God, someone from a recent special edition shared in the question and answer time about acceptance. Like there was a question about surrender, and I thought, wow, that's cool, because when I surrender, I let go of my problems to God, and I'm like, wait, they're not gone. Like they're, and so what I've tried this week practicing is accepting even pain, emotional or physical. And wow, that has really made a difference. It reminds me of like Scott Peck. He wrote a book years ago. It was popular about, I think it was called The Road Less Traveled, based on Frost the poem The Road Not Taken. And I guess he starts out with something like, life is hard. And when we accept that. Anyway, that along with like knowing that I'm not alone, that God is with me, has just been really helpful in and changing, trading my thoughts for God's thoughts. Like I want your thoughts, God. And I thought this week about, after praying something like that, I thought about myself as a little girl with this part of me, right, that is carrying this big heavy backpack, and every time I make a mistake, there's a brick that's put in the backpack that I can't carry, that a little she can't carry, and I have failure written on my or her forehead, and it's gone. It's like I can let that backpack go, turn it over to God, and the tattoo's temporary on my forehead, and it can be my higher power gently washes it off. So those were, I just love this paragraph, and I'm really grateful for you and the line. Thank you for your service, Jody, and everybody who makes it possible to connect with you. I'm grateful I'm not alone, and I hope everybody has a great day. Thanks. I pass.
Well, thank you so much. Pam B. from California. Mitris J., it's your turn.
Good morning. This is Mitris from J. from Michigan, recovered compulsive overeater. Very glad to be here. What stood out for me in the reading is my thinking the divorce from dishonesty or self-seeking motives and self-pity. My problem is where I have to be careful at is self-seeking motives. Because sometimes, you know, not all the time, because I keep coming back and working this program to the best of my ability, but I have to watch for self-seeking motives. Because I want things my way. Sometimes I want to do my will. Sometimes I think that I need to control people, places, things, and situations. Sometimes I get impatient when I don't have the answer I need. And see, it's all about God. It's not about me. See, I have to surrender to God, and I have to ask God for help every day and throughout the day to help me with these self-seeking motives. And I do that. And as I do that, my thinking does become on a higher plane. Because I'm doing God's will. God is always higher. God is always higher than me or anything else. So as I continue to keep coming back, and another thing, love is the answer. See, if I focus on love too, love for God, love for myself, and love for others, I'll stay out of that self-seeking motives as well. But I have to set myself aside because it's not about me. It's about God. It's strictly about God and following the directions of this big book. And when I do that to the best of my ability, my thinking starts to change on a higher plane because I'm doing God's will, not Mitra's will. And as I continue to come back and do this program to the best of my ability, that's what I'm doing, God's will for my life. And that's what is very, very important to me. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Mitris J. from Michigan. Laura W., it's your turn.
Hi, thank you, thank you. This is Laura W. from the Chicago area, Central Time. And so morning. I have an app on my phone. And when I first started reading it every morning, I didn't get much out of it. I didn't think about it a lot. And then I started to really try to get something out of it. And I found that there was a lot of the language I didn't like. I didn't like how religious it was. But I found that the message was clear, that every morning I had to think about my day. And every morning I need to plan how I'm going to go about my day. And what a beautiful thing that is. I still haven't done it yet. I love having an app that I can go to. But the more I get recovery, the more I think I need to rewrite this passage in my own language so I'm more comfortable with it. But I have to be careful because my higher power is more abstract. And I have to be careful that I don't let the things that I want to be good in my day. When people say God, I always think good because I have a problem. I had a terrible problem when I came to OA with the religious concept of a God. And now whenever I think good, and God is good, when people say God, I think good. So when I think of good, though, I have to be careful that it's not more as good. So we go back to the book, and I try to get it the meaning that it's supposed to give. And it was mentioned earlier, I try to remember humility. And humility means not just that I am not the best, and I am not the greatest, and what I'm doing isn't the most important. But also, it's not the worst, and I'm not the biggest loser, and what I'm doing is not the least important thing in this world. So I love this passage, and I'm going to try and make it my own. And but in the meantime, the point of the passage is what's so important. Plan my day and make it be what I want, to live the life I want. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Laura W. from Chicago. And Loretta, I think it's your turn now. Loretta H.
Yes, Jody, thank you. It is Loretta H. And I want to thank all of you, along with my precious God, you do save my life. Welcome to the newcomer. And for today, I am recovered. Thinking about our 24 hours, I have a date with God every morning because it's a relationship. And I can't have this relationship unless I try to discover and direct, not me, but have him direct and bring me to positions. And I call it God's positioning system, his GPS, so that I can become who he wants me to be. Because if I am not, and somebody talked about being idle, and I can't live an idle because my brain is very, very squirrely, very, very skeptic, very, very schismy, because that's what I have is schisms. And these schisms can bring me down. So with this, anytime it says in the big book to ask, it means to pray. So I wake up in bed. I do say the third and seventh step prayer. And then I get up and look at my daily readers. I also have a group that I go on, Awakening, where we read scripture and write about our day and who God wants us to be. But this structure, somebody talked about structure, for me is an investment in the ability for me to bring about his will. And because I'm an addict and know that I am dishonest, I am self-seeking, I am resentful at times, fearful at times, and also just angry. I'm that cucumber with my sourness that's never going to be the pickle again, or I am the pickle. Anyway, so I try to do this, and for me, I position myself in the four absolutes. Honesty, usefulness, authenticity, which is very important, and love. And love is the greatest. And so for today, God bless all. God's love to all of you. I pass.
Thank you, Loretta H. And Loretta, I think you're in North Carolina. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Loretta H. from North Carolina. Judy G., it's your turn, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, I'm Judy G., and I live in Iowa. That's Central Time. And before I even get started, I want to thank you all that provide vision, the creators and everyone who does the daily work, the monthly work. It's really been a phenomenal opportunity for me to listen to this for several years. Several years. I'm just now 26 and a quarter days abstinent. And I'm coming out of a 5-year relapse, and so grateful vision has been here all that time that I would plug in every once in a while and listen, and it did help. And now I have a lovely sponsor who is helping me go through the big book, and I'm realizing that this is a beautiful book that really shows me how to live. And this portion that we're reading today on awakening gives me some really clear directions for the day. And what a beautiful thing, because here I am, a person who thought she knew it all, could handle a day, could handle a week, could handle myself and other people and positions. Well, guess what? Not so much, evidently. And as I read this paragraph, I say self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. And I think in the past, I would have been aghast. I wouldn't think this would apply to me at all. But my sponsor and God are helping me to see that those are motives that I've operated on almost all my life. And I now have the opportunity to live clean and productive, free of all that muck that builds up as a result of self-pity, dishonesty, and self-seeking. I now can recognize those things, and I now can clean it up with God's help. And at this point, with my dear sponsor, and I'm just so grateful that I now have the opportunity to live freer and fuller. And I know that will just increase as I continue to be abstinent, but most importantly, seek spiritual direction and live as God would have me. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Judy G. from Iowa. We have time for one share, maybe two short shares.
Alexis F.
Alexis F. Okay. Why don't you take it away, Alexis?
Charlene G.
And if we have time for Charlene, we'll hear Charlene.
I'm grateful. This is Alexis F. in New Jersey. I'm grateful that I have the means to buy abstinent food. There are a lot of people, I remember talking to a girl down in Florida, and her income was very low. She couldn't buy abstinent food, and she was eating things with sugar in it because she couldn't afford to buy good food. But some of the junk food was even cheaper, and she had to buy what she could afford. I don't agree with that. I think you could buy, you know, food that's nutritious. I have a schism also, and it's hard dealing with it because it's like having two or three different opinions. God helps me with it when I'm in my right frame of mind, and writing is a great tool for me for that. Sometimes I get into the past, sometimes I get into the future, sometimes I stay in the present when I'm writing. And if there's anything that I see in either one, I apologize to God first, ask Him to remove it, and then go on to apologize to the person that, you know, make amends to the person that I've harmed in a nice and cultured way, you know, not in a harsh way or leading the nose with my character defects. I've been expressing how I feel lately, and sometimes it's not so good. Sometimes I express feelings that hurt other people. It's I'm just starting to do it. I think it's from the writing. I think it's from being able to express how I feel to God, and now I'm able to express it to people. There are times I feel nothing. There are times I'm so apathetic that I feel nothing, and that's the worst time and the worst feeling to have. And there are times when I feel so much love, so much, and that's when God is with me and I'm not living in self-will. And I'm multi-addicted, and I have issues also that I see a therapist for. Grave emotional and mental disorder. And my relationships are not what I would like them to be.
That's time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alexa F. from New Jersey. All right. Thank you, everyone, for your shares. Thank you to Team Thursday this month of March. You have been wonderful. It's been easy to be moderator with all of you backing me up so beautifully. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kara L. please read A Vision for You?
Yeah, good morning, Jody. Thank you. Our book, this is Kara L. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.